Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We are very happy to have you. It is a Thursday morning. It is the 1st of February. We have a new month, a brand new month. We'll start fresh.
How did
the second
that
month of 2018, here we are. So we've got a lot going on this morning. We're going to have a busy morning, and we're ready for it. I hope, hopefully you are too. 1-800-323-9262 is the number, because we are going to talk about some fundraising issues, and we will talk about that in just a moment. Let me introduce the whole group to you first. Teresa Bourgeois is here. She's a communications consultant. She's with us today and most days, and we're thrilled to have her.
And it's really my privilege to be here.
Thank
what
you
a
very
joy.
Much.
And it's our privilege to have you. Boy, are we lucky.
Vera Acarias-Kelly is a Siena College comparative politics professor, probably the Siena College comparative politics professor. Is that true?
I think you're right
about
that.
Yeah, you're right, yes. And made her triumphant return last week, and we're thrilled to have you back this week. Thank you very much. Good to see you.
Fantastic to be here.
And, of course, WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Big Joe. Boy, we're doing pretty well here, aren't we? Things are going swimmingly well.
They certainly are. So here is where we are. Just to bring you up to date, we have a fund drive that is going to be beginning on Monday morning. Monday morning, February 5th at 6 a.m. Alan and Ray will get on the air and they'll start. The question is, how much money will we need? Well, hopefully we can help that along today. Right now, you'll remember we needed $1.5 million in the lockbox, $1.5 million in the lockbox to meet our goal and to get a $50,000 challenge from an anonymous friend in the Hudson Valley.
And then?
A $10,000 challenge from, $10,000 challenge from Emily Fisher.
That's right. The wonderful Emily Fisher, who we love so much, the former chair of the Simon's Rock College board, and somebody who's always been there for this radio station. So now that's $60,000. And Joe, I just got handed this, which is an additional $10,000.
And that's for this morning. So hopefully we can make $50,000 between now and 10:30, correct?
So we need, now, if it's all very complicated, of course, but think about this. How much have we raised so far, Joe?
Are you ready? We have raised $1.4 million.
That's unbelievable. So we have to go to get to where we're going, right?
99.9. We have $100,000 to go to get to the goal.
To get to the goal.
So
now, that's
so
a lot of money, $100,000.
That's right. So Anonymous is saying we'll give you
if you can raise half of it.
Right. That's it. By 10:30 this morning.
I just want to emphasize one more time, and this has to do with your integrity, Joe, and mine and everybody else's at this radio station. It's anonymous, all right, and it's from Albany. But I have to tell you, under no circumstances should anybody ever entertain the idea that we have ever made one of these up, because we never have. Whatever lightning bolts are available, you know, to throw at me or whatever else, if I were lying to you, let them begin, because I am telling.
Think that.
Some people. Well, unfortunately, people have written in about it. But the thing is some people even
don't want to say I gave $10,000.
We have a check mark on our pledge forms to say, would you like to be anonymous or would you like to have your name? And it's about half and half. The same is true with the big gifts.
And I know why. I mean, some people live alone. Some people say, okay, if I'm going to get hit by everybody else who wants money. I mean, mm-hmm. they have very legitimate reasons for it. We always love it when somebody gives their name. Their name
sure.
attached.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as I just indicated, there's a certain amount of credibility you get mm-hmm. otherwise. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, this is 10,000 real dollars if we can, Joe.
So we can make it. And right now, just since we've started talking, we are now at $98,412. So we need to make $48,412 to get the $10,000 challenge, which would then mean, Alan, that we would only need $40,000 to go to get the $60,000, if you're keeping track of all of this.
Well, I'm sure everybody is keeping track about it. I can't even figure out what we're talking about, but we have $10,000 now if we can raise this morning $50,000.
That's the important. That's the thing. Exactly. That's the thing you need to know.
And we are coming very close. So now let me just get this straight. The whole drive, we need $2 million for both to buy the tower, remember the tower, and also to keep WAMC going.
Right.
Now, as you know, National Public Radio has to be fed. We're approaching $1 million up there somewheres that we give them. So that's a lot. That's a lot of money out of. So one of the fund drives, one of the whole fund drives goes to
NPR.
To NPR, basically. It's a little less than $1 million. So,
but then you add on the other programming sources. It's
yeah,
about $1 million.
Yeah, like this show and everybody's salaries right. And all the rest of it.
Yeah.
So now there are a few people who call up and say, I don't understand why you have to talk about this during the roundtable. And during, we do because it's either here. Who said that best? Maybe it was it John R. Arbuckle or one of those guys and say, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. Remember that? That ad, you can pay me now, you can pay me later. So let's get it done. The sooner it's done, and we are going to talk about all those substantive issues this morning. We're going to talk about, obviously, we're going to talk about the famous memo and what that Nunes person is doing, is doing. And
what Ryan is not doing.
And what Ryan, the speaker, is not doing, and the lack of integrity, and about how about yet another Trey Gowdy, right, falls yesterday, says he's not going to run either.
Yeah. Well, are you surprised?
He was a part of the transition team with Pence, and so what happened there that he's concerned about?
Will remind us.
Pardon?
Will remind
us. We don't know. I mean, he was part of the transition team working with Pence, and that brought us Flynn and others. And so, you know, some people are speculating about why all of a sudden he's deciding to
not run again. I read in the – I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was thinking, Alan, he was also peddling these kinds of, you know
Conspiracy theories
about the internal, you know, dark state FBI operations.
Well, how many millions of taxpayers' dollars did he spend on Benghazi?
That too.
And what he did on Benghazi was just horrific, I think, because there needed to be a look at that, but not the way, you know, that just politicized the death of those people.
I'm sorry, Joe, but you know what's really interesting? You know what's really interesting here? And that is that the analysis in the papers has been that he would not have had any problem getting reelected.
Oh, no.
So the fact that he's dropping out raises a lot of eyebrows.
It's a very red district, and even with the wave that is expected, that seat is considered to be a lock for the Republicans. But they said that in Alabama too, so we'll see what happens. But with that said, real quick, before we move on to substantive issues, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that we got a lot to do today.
We now have to make
$47,000, and we have an hour and 7 minutes to do it in. We have $10,000 on the table. All of this will ensure that we can do this again tomorrow, and then by the weekend, we can rest easy knowing that we've made our goal. We're at $1.5 million, and then that, you know, the weekend, any money that comes in is less we have to make on Monday when we start the drive, and hopefully it'll all be over by then.
And then we can hear Ray and Alan. The Ray and Alan Show.
The Ray and Alan Show.
Which is so funny.
And Ray should be first because he's one of the funniest individuals
I have ever met in
my life. Every morning I come in and I walk down there to the end of that newsroom, and there he is sitting there on the far right of the newsroom. you know, down there.
Is that indicative of anything? You're starting already without him, Alan. No, he's not there yet.
No, not at all.
So I'm going to ask the same question that I've asked all week, which is how many people listen who have never given before? And you have new members now,
Well,
right?
we
Lots
have a
of
lot
new
of new members,
members
coming
Isn't that
in.
Wonderful?
And we know that we have 500,000, I believe, discrete people who listen to the radio station. That's a lot of people. And the great reason for that is not to admonish them,
no.
but to say everybody has an opportunity
to
now
be part of the community.
To be part of it.
And I wanted to mention something. I had this really interesting encounter with some of my students after the State of the Union address.
Right.
And I didn't realize, and I should have, but I didn't realize that for many of my students, this was the first State of the Union address that ever experienced as adults.
Right. Yeah.
And so I thought it was astounding how many of them thought, oh, Trump is a different person now. He did so well in the State of the Union address. Yes. He was so thoughtful. And they really, some of them really bought into this sort of patriotic, you know, emotion that they felt when he was pointing out, you know, families that
the
had suffered.
Stories.
The personal stories, the families that had suffered, or the individuals that had suffered horrendous pain, or, you know, had given, you know, through their military service to this country.
All very powerful stories.
All very powerful stories.
And the quick and dirties overnight, the polling showed that people perceived it as very good.
Yes. Right. And so I thought it's so important for us to continue to talk about these things because we have, you know, a lot of young people who don't know what to compare it to. They don't really understand the context, the sort of theater that goes with it. And it was fascinating, the kinds of conversations I had.
And they don't understand the dog whistles that he was... Mm-hmm. They don't understand that some of that was dog whistle.
And they don't understand the background, the Mueller investigation and all that's behind it.
Right.
I want to get to that. First, I want to say something we didn't say. 1-800-323-9262. We got all these wonderful WMC staffers who are personing the phones. 1-800-323-9262, or you can go to WAMC.org. And you know, when we had the Vox Pop the other day with two very good political scientists on it who kept pointing out, you know, people don't listen to people they don't like. So that the people who are listening, many of the people who are listening to the State of the Union address were people who were had affinity to him. And then when you poll them, they say, yes, well, we liked it. On the other hand, it has to be like one of those nightmares in which you are. He's up there and they say, you pat him on the back and they say, you did really well. The polls are coming in. And then you take a look at his overall polling numbers and they're not improving. Because at the same time, as soon as he gets off, he's back in the nightmare of Mueller asking for information and asking
back to
for a meeting
this morning, and this North Korea situation.
Oh, that's really frightening.
And South Korea, this ambassador situation is just
that we don't have a
frightening that he rejected this very talented ambassador.
The most thoughtful scholar on the Korean situation was going to be our ambassador.
Sends a
and
terrible
now.
Sign.
You know,
and they asked him an honest question, right, Vera? And the honest question was?
Well, what do you think about our ability to strike?
First strike.
Yeah,
first strike opportunity. And he said, no, it is not a reasonable policy. And as soon as that was articulated, he was no longer of interest to this administration. So what this shows is that in foreign policy, for sure, we do not care about qualifications, merit, expertise, or regional knowledge. What we care about is ideology. It is frightening.
Well, as Trump would put it, are you on my team?
That's right. Ideology right. or commitment to...
Wow. Yeah. Right. Is all I can say.
Which is why these conversations are
back,
valuable.
You know, and when we come back, I'd love to, since we don't get Vera all the time, I'd love to ask her as, you know, an authority, as a somebody who teaches comparative politics, I'd like to ask her whether these some of the people who are authoritarian leaders have adopted some of the same techniques or that Trump is adopting right now in order to get some idea of where he's leading us.
So I'm going to let that question pause for a moment, and we're going to go to a break. A reminder, we have a $10,000 challenge. We need to now make $46,000. We made almost $5,000 in the last
but it's not enough.
Few
we
minutes.
We
but,
can't make it that
but
way.
If we keep doing that, we're okay, but you got to keep doing it. We have $10,000 on the table, all of this to get us to our goal of $1.5 million to the lockbox.
10 new people in the next 10
minutes. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, WAMC.org. If you want the stuff, if you want the pullover sweatshirt or the blanket or the socks, any one of those is $100. Or you can get all of them for $240. If you would, we talked about the diaper program yesterday and helping children diapers for a month's supply. You can do that as well, WAMC.org. All of it is there and is available. But we have to do is make the money.
And think about all those kids who need
diaper drive.
Yeah,
1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. And,
$10,000,
if you were thinking, oh, my God, that February 5th is so far away, and I don't have to worry about it, well, it's Monday.
What if people don't know about the diaper drive?
We'll tell them all about it when we come back.
Because that's so important.
1-800-323-9262. You can also go to WAMC.org. We have staff standing by, but we also, you can just do it yourself if you go to WAMC.org. We'll be back. We'll have a new total for you. We'll also continue our discussion. Very provocative question asked to Vera. She will answer it when we come back after
$10,000.
$10,000 on the table. We don't want to lose it. 1-800-323-9262. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. Thank you very much for being with us. Alan Chartok is here, Vera Akarias-Kelly, and Teresa Bourgeois. We are in the midst of trying to raise, and we'll do it. Damn it! We have to make $50,000 to make. We now need $44,500 to make, and if we do that, what happens, Alan?
If we do that, we get an additional $10,000 from a wonderful person named Anonymous,
which will bring us within a whisker of our $1.5 million goal that we need to do to unleash $60,000.
Which gets added in. So that means we go back already into the, if you're following the numbers, on Monday, you would go in, assuming nothing else came in, with $440,000 to go, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that would be great. And we can do that.
Absolutely. We certainly can. And
wouldn't it be great to see that today, right now?
It would be. And I'm sure it'll happen. The phones are ringing. Everybody's doing their thing. And we're happy. The numbers are going down. But we need everybody on a phone to help. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC.
And one more thing, Joe. And that is that there are some people who can be a little bit more generous than other people. Somebody called me yesterday and said, I'm on Social Security. I can't help you. I said, a dollar.
Right.
A dollar.
And that's so generous.
Terrific. Yeah, that's
yes.
right.
That is generous.
That's generous. And then there's some people who could do $1,000 with the same kind of ease that somebody could do a dollar.
Right.
So whatever you can do, one of the first things I did when I became the head of the station was to say, you know, they used to say $25 back in the day would make you a member. And I would say, anything will make you a member.
Okay.
Anything will make you a member.
Boy, I was at a dinner last night, and there were five people, and they were all talking about how much this conversation means to them. I was fascinated by that. And,
what do you mean this conversation? I'm sorry.
The WAMC conversation, the round table.
Oh, the round. And the
news,
right.
And the Vox Pop, you know, your mm-hmm. interviews with people like Senator Chris Murphy to help them really understand what's going on. You know, Congressman Faso and all those other folks.
Yeah. Sure.
I was fascinated listening to them talk about how important it is for them right now to help them have a better understanding of what's going on.
Speaking of which, I can tell you, every once in a while I'll get somebody who say you should never have Congressman Faso on the radio.
Just
and that gets to my question
why?
With
wow.
you,
Vera,
of what happens when somebody, when a despot in all of these countries you study, leads you on the road to fascism?
Well, I mean, the main question really is, in the United States, in a diverse, pluralistic country, you should always be aware of what other people say.
You don't have to like it.
You don't have to like it, but you should be aware of what the arguments are, how other people perceive the world around them, because otherwise, if you don't know, if you lack this awareness, you can't even make and develop effective arguments to counter those positions. I always tell my students, don't just get stuck in your ideological world. Branch out. Understand how other people think. Step into their shoes just for an hour during class. And I think coming back to the question you raised earlier, I think what's really interesting to see is that Trump, of course, has inspired despots around the world, or in these leaders of, I would call them, illiberal states, such
Duterte.
As, you know, Duterte, Tayyip Erdogan in Turkey, Viktor Orban in Hungary. I mean, what they do is they actually watch what happens with Trump here, and by now they've figured out, okay, the guy seems like a bit like Teflon. Nothing seems to stick. The criticisms don't seem to take him or tear him down. So what we see now is this incredibly interesting pattern, at least when you study it, when you observe it as a citizen, it's disturbing. But all of these leaders use the term fake news whenever they don't want to hear anything. I mean,
and he set the stage for
and
that.
He set the stage for that. And that is a common strategy used across the world now.
But I would and you're right. And but also you see it within our own government with the Trey Gowdy's, with the Nunez's of using the same thing. And that being we talked all along about. And I know Teresa said this from, you know, for 2 years, which has been you normalize it. And we're getting to a point where it is becoming normalized.
Yep.
It's
right.
Very much being normalized.
And could I say one other thing? 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. I just got a note saying, will you please give the number? Because, you know, we don't know where to call. 1-800-323-9262. Or you got to WAMC.org and do it that way.
And we desperately need you, and we need about $44,000 now, and that gets us $10,000, but we don't get it if we don't make it. So please, we only have until 10:30 this morning. That's about 50 minutes left. Everybody on a phone, 1-800-323-9262, or you can also do it online.
We can do this.
WAMC.org.
1-800-323-9262. And Vera, that was great. We enjoy having you here. Just yesterday somebody wrote, a very nice person, and said you can certainly do better than having Herb London on. Now, Herb London, people don't like Herb London. And they say, but he's not a real conservative. Oh, no? He ran on the conservative ticket. Mm-hmm. He's the head of one of the most important conservative institutes. He was the chairman and the dean at NYU. Yeah, I don't agree with anything he says, but I sure am going to fight to keep him there.
So one of the things is I would say we can certainly listen to and give voice to thoughtful conservatives. What, of course, all of us, I think, are worried about are these ideologues that assert positions that are not based in reality. When they dismiss facts, like President Erdogan of Turkey, for example, just recently, a couple days ago, had top medical officials, leaders of the medical association in Turkey, arrested because they criticized the fact that Turkey was attacking communities in Syria and not providing proper, you know, first of all, it was an act of war in another country, and then they were not providing any proper medical support for civilians. They said it was cruel, it was inhumane, it was wrong, and then they get arrested. I mean, that is the kind of things I worry about.
I'm sorry, Joe, but
we're not far from that, are we?
That's exactly right, which is what scares the hell out of me here, which is that you have a president of the United States who is saying to his top law enforcement, first of all, he chooses the FBI head, and now he's trying to destroy this. He's also the guy who says, let's make sure that it's a safe country to live in, and who's assuring that the real bad guys are picked up? The FBI. Who's he destroying the fabric of? The same FBI right now. It's unbelievable. Isn't it, Teresa?
It is. It is. I was just thinking about the State of the Union where, you know, in terms of what you were saying, how, you know, one of the fundamental rights in this country is to protest. And the football players who take a knee, you know, they try to be respectful, but they take a knee. They talk to veterans in advance. But he has used that as a way to, you know, dog whistle to his base. And what does he do? He starts his State of the Union talking about how we have to be unified, we have to get along, we have to be together. And then he denigrates the football players who are doing, you know, nonviolent protests. And so that's one step away. That's not arresting them by any way means, but it's demonizing them.
Right.
But what I've been thinking, Alan, is you're a political scientist, and historically, it seems to me the founding fathers wove together this intricate system of checks and balances, understanding that there might be problems going forward. And so they created three different branches with a whole array of ways to check each other. And what worries me right now is those checks and balances, you know, the legislative branch not checking the administration, the executive branch. So what have you seen? I mean, certainly
you got Nunez hiding in the bushes at the White House, bringing up information from the legislative branch to the executive. Unbelievable.
Or single-handedly rewriting memos?
Yes, that's
well, that,
right.
Okay.
Isn't
so
that
someone,
illegal?
Someone explain this to me, because I don't get it. So the guy writes the memo, and then the head of the FBI. Now, whatever inconsistencies or concerns of the president sees or has there, he's the head of the FBI, says...
Appointed
by the President of the United States, for God's sakes, don't release the memo. And then,
because it has national security information in it.
By all accounts, within hours, the memo is going to be released.
Well, that's part of it. It's not only that.
But it's that the
information in there is incorrect. It's not true.
Because they cherry-picked. And think about the Trump rallies. Lock her up, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up, because she allegedly, but she did not review, did not disclose, you know, information that she wasn't supposed to disclose. And here, these guys are going to disclose information that their own FBI says don't disclose. First of all, it's national security. It'll put people at risk. And it's not accurate because it's cherry-picked. And to me, the biggest problem here is Speaker Paul Ryan. His job. He has a job. And his job is to be a check and balance on this.
Hey, Joe, how are we doing on this thing?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because we have a break, and I wanted to give you an update. We're doing quite well, thank you very much. We're almost to $10,000, but we need 40 more if we're going to make the $10,000
challenge. That's a long way to go.
It is a long way to go. We have 45 minutes to do it in. We have great faith in you. We know that you are there. Hey, we made $10,000 in about 20 minutes, so that's good, but we need to make a lot more. So 1-800-323-9262. $10,000 is at stake right now. And remember, all of this is to get the $1.5 million goal, so we unleash $60,000 in challenge money. So we really have triple challenges going here. So this is all important. Everything you do now is less that we have to do later on.
The most important thing is we all made this radio station together.
Be part of the community.
And if each of us just does something, as Teresa has pointed out, we'll do it, and we'll do it right now. If you haven't done something, please do it now. We'll get the extra $10,000, sure. One lady will give us $50,000 as a result of this thing. Another $10,000. That's a huge amount of money. But the real reason to do it is because you're invested in this radio station. And like Teresa said, as Teresa said a few seconds ago, she goes to a party and people say, I couldn't live without this program.
It is so important. We need you now. And look, you know, we are in a point now where I know people... I say, oh, you know, you're always raising money again. You're doing this. Well, look, if we make it and we're done at the end of, hopefully, the end of Monday, we're done. And then you don't have to hear us for another 4 months.
And by the way, maybe even not Monday.
Maybe before that. I mean, we can end it now. We can end it now. I mean, we're well within reach. We can certainly end it now. But look, everybody, just do your part, and we can forge through. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. WAMC. You can also go to WAMC.org. We need you. We love you. We thank you. We'll be right back.
Joe, how are we doing?
Oh, Alan, thank you for asking. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. We are $41,333 away from our goal. So let's say $40,000 between friends that we need to do until we get the $10,000.
And I mean,
we've really
got to get going now. Everybody into the pool. Everybody do something.
Yes,
that's
everything. And we really need you. You know, the thing is, and I think everyone at the table can agree with this, we're all part of this roundtable panel. it is impossible to go out and go anywhere and talk to people where people don't come up to you. And it's not just a hello, but it's a genuine thank you for what you do.
I hear it a lot.
It's constant. It is just, and it's beautiful, and it's constant. And I'm not patting ourselves on the back, but what I am saying is that for a lot of people, this is a very important forum to have, a place, the town square, to go to talk about the issues. We have a lot to compartmentalize. We have a lot to figure out. We have a lot to work on. And we come here every morning from 9 to 10:30, and we talk about it, and we figure it out.
And people share their views.
Now, not everybody loves it, but the people who do love it really love it. There would be no better way, I think, of proving that we are here to stay and that we're solid than if everybody puts something in, even if it's your second time, but I don't want that. I want everybody to put something in to protect this program. If you do it now, protect the program, save the program. Once people see this incredible thing raising $40,000 in 44 minutes, they'll say, wow, that is really impressive. And all you got to do is something.
But even the people who disagree with the conversation, I try to read the emails that people send in, which I think are really great. But the people who disagree, I think that is valuable. It's wonderful to get those emails to say, well, you know, philosophically, you're wrong about X, Y, or Z. You're wrong about the tax package, whatever. Because as you were talking about earlier, it's those different views that you see in some of the letters and, you know, the different conversation we have here, you know, the back and forth I've had with Chris or Rich, or something on healthcare. It's really, that's how you find the middle ground by the
discussion. That's right. You build consensus.
Listening to different views.
And they do. You're absolutely right. They guide the conversation. They help guide the conversation and bring it in directions that we perhaps had not intended, but we hadn't expected. And I find that endlessly fascinating. They really are. We will get to a couple of those in just a second. I just want to remind you just the importance of this. We have 39 minutes left. We need, we're now 39 $1,985. So
wow. Mm-hmm.
All right. So
okay. So we just got through the 40s. Yep. Let's prove it. Let's save this show.
So I wanted to just mention the FISA court for a minute because we had begun to
People who don't know what that is.
Well, I had begun to think about, you know, sort of the question of why we have this debacle with this memo, right?
Right.
So what's common procedure is that both the Republicans and Democrats on this congressional committee would release memos, their assessments.
The House Investigations Committee. Some people have written in saying they don't understand the whole memo issue. So
they would both release their interpretations of the data, of the information. Now, what's interesting is that apparently only one person from each side in the House Investigative Committee have even read the background material, which is exceptionally extensive for the FISA courts. So experts say that an application for the FISA courts is often in the 40 to 100 plus page documents that a judge reviews. So in other words, we have not heard anything from legal experts. We only know that one person on each side has even looked at the background information, and we're pretty sure that a judge would not just look at the controversial dossier to make a decision on.
No, they wouldn't. They can't.
There's layers of processes that have to be followed. So what we're talking about is a highly ideological, misleading memo that is attempted to be used by Nunes and the president to obfuscate the Russia investigation, confuse people, and discredit the FBI.
Let me just ask this question and then put it all into context. But if you are the Trump team and you're looking at this and you know that there is an investigation, now you know you also believe there's no collusion and there's nothing wrong. Got it. But if you believe that, but you also know that the center of this is an obstruction of justice charge. How does this help? That's what I don't get. I don't understand the game plan through the Trump administration of saying, okay, they're coming after us. Whether if they believe it to be false, fine. they're coming after us for obstruction of justice. Oh, by the way, let's do this, which to me furthers the concern of obstruction of justice, does it not?
It appears to be. So just for kind of for people who, because I think some people are not, they're confused about what's the memo that everybody's talking about. So there's the House Investigations Committee, chaired by Devin Nunes. Well, he was supposed to recuse himself, so it's still not clear to me how he's doing this.
Exactly.
But he's leading this
effort.
He was
the guy they found hiding in the White House bushes.
Right, so he went to the White House, came back, right? So there's some issue about, was the White House feeding him information? So they're supposed to be doing this congressional independent investigation, but he was up at the White House. Some issue, were they feeding him information for this quote-unquote independent investigation of Russia's interference into the election? That has morphed by the Republicans into an investigation of the FBI. Is the FBI biased against Trump? And so, therefore, this. So he writes this memo outlining all the problems that he perceives in the FBI that makes them not suitable to be doing the investigation. Allegedly, we don't know.
So this, let me just
so
get
that's
this straight.
What the memo is.
Yeah, so let me just get this straight, and back to you. And that is, the whole idea here is obviously to throw the special counsel investigation off kilter, right? By
help,
writing this
to
memo.
Have people discredit. Doubt the validity or the veracity of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Go ahead.
And so there's this memo. This memo allegedly includes classified information. And so the Republican-led committee voted the other day to make this public, but that there would be 5 days for the White House to review to determine whether or not it could be released. And the FBI has taken the extraordinarily unusual step of putting out a statement saying that it should not be released, A, because it has national security information you should only see if you have clearance, and B, because it's been cherry-picked and puts information out of context. However, President Trump was caught on a hot mic at the State of the Union saying, oh, 100%, yeah, 100%.
It's going
All right,
up.
So now what? Mm-hmm. So that's
the context.
The memo is.
And if you look at the bigger picture, what's happening is the Trump administration is suggesting that there is a deep state operation inside of the bureaucracies of the United States. So despite the fact that the FBI is led by people that he appointed, he's making the argument, along with this Nunes memo, that you cannot trust the intelligence agencies. I mean, it's FBI right now. Who knows who's next? But clearly the question is, that is being raised is, well, these people are all against me. They can't be trusted. Their investigations can't be trusted. They're not on my team. So that's the whole issue that's emerging now. And that is, coming back to my original point, a strategy used by strongmen in illiberal systems, in authoritarian systems, to discredit anybody from within a structure that is well established and has sort of a balance of power to make sure a single person doesn't take charge of the entire democratic system. But here we are at a crucial point where we see the administration attacking its own bureaucratic structure, something really scary.
That's so well put, but I would put it just a little bit differently, which is, you know, they appointed this guy.
Right.
They appointed him.
And for gosh sakes, let's remember, what did Comey do just before the election? And what about James Kallstrom? What happened to the investigation? So just to remember, James Kallstrom led the New York City FBI field office in the 90s. Then he rose to become the FBI assistant director. Then was out. But during the election, remember when Rudy Giuliani went on to the Fox News and said, oh, something big's coming in the next few days?
Yeah.
And then the Comey information came out and people said, well, how did he know that? Mm-hmm. And it was traced back to the fact that it appeared that Kallstrom was talking with FBI people in the New York office and other offices. And that was supposed to be investigated because that would have been interference with the investigation of Hillary Clinton.
Right. And it gets even wilder when you think that the argument could be made that Comey had, in fact, lost the election for Hillary Clinton.
So they're swift-boating this. I mean, they're basically swift-boating the FBI, just like they swift-boated John Kerry. I mean, remember in the presidential election, John, he goes into the election. He's truly a war hero. And his opponent is a draft.
Okay, we have to take a break. We have to get over to the news. Ray Graff is ready to go, the radio professional that he is. How do I tell he's a radio professional? Because his headphones are built for tough.
I like it. How are we doing, Joe? How are we doing?
We're $35,000 away from making $10,000 and being that much closer, a whisker away from our goal of $1.5 million. But we need 350 people at $100 each. And we need you in the next 32 minutes. So you do that. You do that. And we're going to go over and hear some news. 1-800-323-9262. $35,000 is what separates us. Show you all for this radio station, for this program, for this wonderful, wonderful panel that comes in each and every day. 1-800-323-9262. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We have Vera Akarios-Kelly from Siena College. She is the professor of comparative politics. Teresa Bourgeois is a communications consultant. Alan Chartok is the man in charge, and he has some exciting news. Alan?
Okay. We have now heard from our anonymous giver in Albany, New York. Okay. All right. Let me help you with this. I will put the $10,000 in if you can raise the rest of it. In other words, we'd have to raise $25,000 instead of $35,000. That's very generous of him, and we very much appreciate it. So now we could make this, and that could bring us, Joe, to very close to where we need to go. To very close to where we need to go to get that $60,000 or $70,000. It's amazing. It's just amazing.
It really is. So we need you right now. We need $24,872. Okay. And we have 25 minutes, so that's about $1,000 a minute.
Now, have we done that in the past? Yes, we have. But everybody has
to. We did it actually Monday and Tuesday of this week.
Everybody has to get on the wagon and do everything they can to make it whole. Come on, folks. It's your show. It's your station. We love you, and we know you love it. And then you tell us that wherever we go. I get, you know, hundreds of emails every day, hundreds of emails. So let's everybody put something in. Let's not panic. We'll make it.
Just be calm. Yeah, we can make For God's sakes, be calm.
Yeah. Trust your instincts. Do the right thing.
Yeah. That's right.
Do the right thing.
That is the order of the day. All right, we're going to go to some letters. Alan has some letters, but remember, 1-800-323-9262. I will be peppering in that number throughout the remainder of our conversation because, yes, we only have 23 minutes to do this in, and we have a lot of money to make. But we know we'll do it. But we just have to count on you and be and
we're counting on you.
And
as Teresa just said, do the right thing. Way before Spike Lee or Do the Right Thing, there was Stephen's mother, Ethel. And she used to say to him every day, I used to play with him, and she used to say, Stephen, do the right thing. And I'd say, how does he know what the right thing is? And she would say, he knows.
In the end, that's
because of mom. He knew.
He knows.
And that's what we need from our government right now, too. Yeah. CBO report we got to talk about, too.
1-800-323-9262. I'm counting on you, folks. 1-800. We got to keep it going. 1-800. Keep the flame alive. 1-800-323-9262. Marjorie says of Korea. Maybe greetings. Maybe you spoke about this yesterday. I couldn't listen because of my work schedule. Wasn't Trump's comment about bringing people together needing an event a failed threat of war?
A major event. He said that sometimes you can do it. You can bring. It's very hard to bring people together without a major event. Sometimes you need a major event, and we didn't know what he meant by major event.
Maureen says something
very disturbing, though.
Maureen said something that we have been talking about during the break, which is, I understand Trey Gowdy is interested in working in the justice system. I wonder if he's in line to fast track to the Supreme Court. Oh, my goodness gracious. For services rendered. What are those services, Teresa?
Well, the Benghazi hearings. He spent millions and millions of taxpayers' dollars and the committee time on the Benghazi hearings. And many people felt, you know, it was the way he handled that was totally inappropriate. But there is speculation that he could become the FBI director if Sessions goes, or that he'll get a judgeship.
Or that he could become The new Attorney General.
Attorney General, you meant.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
FBI Director.
FBI Director.
Oh,
meant,
I did not mean that at all.
Attorney General. Yeah.
Attorney General
but
is what I meant. Oh, I'm so sorry.
He would have to go through confirmation hearings.
He would have to,
You can imagine if for the Attorney General's job, or for any of those jobs, and there would be hell to pay.
It would really be hell to pay. It would be a bit messy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Maureen, for that. And Debbie says, Nunes in the Bushes. Good morning. Dr. Shartok, could you explain the Nunes in the Bushes reference? I've Googled and can't find it. I do remember Spicy in the Bushes. Well, Nunes did run away, did run up to the White House,
yes,
and they caught him out there trying to get that information, the confidential information, as I remember, to the president.
Right.
Yes, it was a meeting that took place. I don't think it was really that long ago, although it seems like it was 8 years ago.
It does.
Well, it's so much mayhem every day in this White House. You can hardly recall what happened last week.
$23,800, Alan.
Okay, let's go. Everybody, 1-800-323-9262. Jill says, good morning, panel. When Trump says we need to be united, come together, et cetera, he means with him. Agree with him. If there is any compromising, we need to compromise to what he wants. That's the letter.
Right, and that's the situation we're in. And Teresa and I were just mentioning the fact that we have the potential for another shutdown.
Right, I mean,
imminent.
Next week.
In all of this, people are not focused on the fact, and that's, to me, it was pretty disturbing because even though it was done in dulcet tones, the State of the Union was very divisive.
Mm-hmm.
And how are they going to come together on the immigration issue and all these budget issues? And now there's a CBO report out either late last night or today that says that Congressional Budget Office, that the federal government is racking up so much debt faster that the debt ceiling, they're going to hit the debt ceiling a month before
they anticipated.
Mm. Yeah. So now not only are they going to have to work out the budget, but they're also going to have to pass a debt ceiling. You know, they're going to have to raise the debt limit, which is always controversial.
Mm.
Why? Because they have a tax bill you can't pay for, and they don't have a budget in place. It's going to be much harder to pass a budget.
Now, Jojo, as long as we're talking about debt, where are we in this thing?
We're $23,800 away. We need you. 1-800-323-9262. $23,000 in the next 19 minutes. Everybody on a phone. We lose $10,000 if we don't do this. 1-800-323-9262. This is all to set us up to get the $1.5 million in our lockbox and to get that additional $60,000 in challenge money.
Won't that
None
be great?
Of that happens unless we get to this goal, which will bring us to just a whisker away. But
so, Joe, I'm sorry to
be
interrupting. Is this station and is this program worth $3 a day? $3 a day. Because if it is, and it's what stands between you and you know what, then $3 a day, that's $1,000. You can do it on time. You can become a sustaining member, whatever you want to do. But is this station worth $1,000? Give us $1,000 if you can. 1-800-23 people could give us $1,000. So somebody, or $25. But if you have $1,000 right now, think about this. All those people who back in Germany back in the day could have done something earlier. Well, is your freedom worth $1,000? Is it? 1-800-323-9262. Ann says, good morning, panel. From what I've heard, Nunes' memo is alleging the surveillance of Trump team members was illegal because it lacked a warrant, which is required under Section 701 of FISA. However, Nunes himself voted to continue allowing warrantless surveillance allowed for in Section 702, since CIA received info from British intelligence that Trump and or his team may have been compromised by Russia. I believe they found that sufficient reason to conduct warrantless surveillance. My understanding may be incorrect. I'd appreciate your input. Anybody?
Well, Carter Page is the person, allegedly, and they did have a FISA warrant,
yes,
so it wasn't
did.
A warrantless search.
Yep.
And, in fact, one of the issues is that during the time of the Trump administration, not just the Obama administration, but during the time of the Trump administration, they expanded the warrant for the FISA warrant on him.
1-800-323-9262. Again, 1-800-323-9262 or go to WAMC.org. Now everybody's got to get going. Okay, so Adam says, Nunes, what's the under-over on number of days before we see the Nunes mugshot? Great show. Thanks. 1-800-323-9266.
It's going to be settled at the ballot box.
Adam, you have always said that,
yeah.
And you are so smart.
And, you know, one of those interesting things is also the question. Obviously, some of the staffers have written this memo with Nunez. And the question now is also, was there cooperation between the White House and some of the Nunez staffers in terms of how to write this memo?
Which raises issues that Joe brought up earlier, which is obstruction of justice.
So the question really is, does this memo represent at all any accurate information about the Carter Page issue, the FISA question, the intelligence information, or is it a purely political document?
Is. And they won't, and it is, and they won't allow the Democratic response to be published.
Right.
We'll say you can, the FBI says, don't do it. The FBI said, don't do it. It's dangerous for America. Which FBI director? Oh, the one that used to work here? No, the one that Trump,
the Republican,
has appointed. Unbelievable.
And then let's remember the underlying issue here, which seems to get lost. Russia interfered with the U.S. election. Carter Page, they got the FISA warrant because of his dealings with Russia. You know, we have a problem in this country, and the Congress overwhelmingly voted on sanctions against Russia, and this administration didn't meet the deadline to impose those sanctions.
I wonder why.
In all of this, what's getting lost is the problem that our government should be confronting in a bipartisan, coherent, comprehensive way, which is Russian interference.
Okay, exciting news. Exciting news, which is we now need $19,079. $19,079, and we have 14 minutes to do that.
Goodness.
So everybody, we have $10,000. So everybody, come on, do it. Whatever you can do.
Okay.
I'm just going to give the number really slow. 1-800-323-9262.
I don't think I heard that right. Is it 1-800-323-9262?
Where's the banjo?
1-800-323-9262 is correct, Alan. You can also do it online at wamc.org, wamc.org. We need you. We are $19,000 away. We have made almost every challenge this week. We want to make this one, too. Please, please, please.
New people.
Do whatever you can. 1-800-323-9262.
New people, old people, everybody in the pool. Okay.
Short people, tall people.
President of private police.
I'm talking about Alan and I.
That's what I was just thinking after I said that.
Pushing the idea that Trump can't trust FBI or CIA allows him to again propose the idea of private personal security force. He's raised the issue at least twice, but maybe this gives him the cover to push it through. Any fascist worth his salt begins with a cadre of secret police and a mob of true believers. This is terrifying. Fran, you are right on the money. I keep thinking the same thing, and you don't have to look that far back in history to get it.
And the other thing I wanted to mention about my students, they asked me about if you could trust any politician anymore.
Yes, you can.
And that's sad.
And this is sort of the interesting manifestations that you now find in classes when you teach. You have to explain that, you know, it's not everybody who's in politics is the same. That there are people that hold values, people that are highly educated, and some others that are manipulators. I mean, this was fascinating, the conversation.
Now,
I had
my,
with my students
who are up here, I was teaching a class yesterday at noon for the Legislative Gazette, and I said to them, I know what your parents say. Mm-hmm. And they said, what's that? I said, they're all a bunch of crooks. Mm-hmm. So what happens is that this brings everybody down. Now, you know, there are some very good, wonderful, respectable politicians. But what this guy is doing is poisoning the entire political class.
Well, that's why this can't be normalized. That's, you know, he's tearing
at 17,000s.
Oh, wow.
$17,000. $1-800-323-9262.
I'm sorry.
No. That's very exciting.
Okay.
I'm watching the clock. Oh.
No, go ahead.
I've
if you pause, I'm just going to keep giving the phone number.
No, go ahead and give it because I totally lost my turn.
Go ahead, Joe.
1-800-323-9. You think of what you had to say.
No, I was so excited
and
that
we
it
are
might
saving,
make it. I'm sorry.
And I mean literally saving. We're sending a message that this show is worth supporting.
Right.
this very show, which so many people stop Joe about, you about, Vera about, me about, and say, I couldn't live without it. Mm-hmm. Now's the time to do it.
Well, just, you know, it's about being involved, engaged as part mm-hmm. of this community. Just like right now, we need people, you know, what's going to resolve this issue about the normalcy of Trump mm-hmm. and this? And that is people getting engaged in their government. Yep. And the good thing is we're seeing that happen. And the question is, there's some really tough budget choices mm-hmm. that are on the horizon.
Yes.
Well, will your students speak up about education funding? Will other things that matter in
yep.
their lives? Will mayors speak up about infrastructure? Because there's a really stark choice on how to deal with infrastructure.
Joe, we only have 11 minutes.
We have 11 minutes, and we have 15. We're in the 15,000s.
Wow.
They got to go
$15,979.
Wow.
We have
yep.
come a long way. We need you. We have $10,000 on the table that we have to do this. Everybody on a phone. We still have 11 minutes. Let's go. Make every second count. All you have to do is go to your phone. Mm. We have wonderful staff members throughout this building who are answering phone calls. We have, of course, our website, which will be taking as many as it can. WAMC.org to do that, to call a human being and talk to one of our wonderful staff members, 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. $15,669.
And, Joe, just one more thing. You can go to WAMC.org and do it that way.
Mm. It's like we're a mile four of a 10K race, which is 6 miles. People have to pick up the pace.
That's right.
And by the way, we always do. It's always the whoosh factor
we're
at the end.
We're wishing for whoosh.
Whoosh, whoosh, yeah.
So in my educational race, we have next week, we're starting on Russia in several of my classes. So this is always my favorite part because a lot of students have no idea about Russia. They have very superficial knowledge about the history and the idea. And we actually look at various profiles of President Putin, the kind of background he is coming from, and the way the Russians have attempted to, and possibly we don't know the extent of it, influence the last election. Of course, we know the Russians have done the same in European elections,
right.
and they've been
look
caught.
What's happening with Merkel.
Exactly.
And the history of mm-hmm. Russia is so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We've often debated in political science, and I'm often poo-pooed for this, whether there is such a thing as national character, whether a nation has a national character. The Russians have always responded to authoritarianism, always, throughout history. Now, there's been an attempt to so-called democratize it. Nevertheless, people are ending up dead. You know,
well, I mean, you have to remember the Russians haven't had any exposure to democracy at all. Right. They had a czarist regime,
sure.
then the communist dictatorship in the 1990s.
Sure.
They finally achieved, so-called democratic reforms, which were then very quickly undermined. And then Putin takes control and brings it back to an illiberal
former
system.
Former KGB agent.
Of course.
Speaking of which, Joe, where are we?
140. We need
$14,000.
So 140 people will do it. We only have 8 minutes to do it. And everybody on a phone, everybody to their computer, do whatever you can. Everything on the table will count. 1-800, which that means is that when we're done, it's still, if you're on the phone, if you're doing it, it still counts to get the challenge. But why tempt fate? Why can't we just do it right now? 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. 1-800-323-9262. And we don't want to sound desperate, but we're a little desperate.
Well, I certainly am. Not for any other reason, Joe, except for the idea that this is, I've always said it, people poo-poo it, but I've always said this WAMC thing is a fragile experiment. It is fragile. We've all decided to do it. We know what works. A dollar for me, says the boss, in a commercial radio station, a dollar for you. This is something else. This is because people decide we can make this thing. We have made it in the past. We'll make it now. It's so simple, a simple phone call. Do I think there's enough people out there to do this right now? Do I think there are 14 people who could give $1,000, $3 a day on time or any other way? Yeah, I do. But I think it's the impetus to get there and say, Alan Censure, 1-800, Joe Censure, 1-800-323-9262. Do it now. Don't let the time elapse. Go to WAMC.org. It will all count. Everything on the table will count. Joe?
1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. So at stake here is $10,000, but not only that, it is our ability to get to another $50,000 tomorrow, which would then bring us to the fact that we would unleash the $60,000 in challenge money that we have. So there's a lot of money on the table, but our part right now of what we need to do is roughly we need about 138 people, $13,800. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, 1-800-323-9262. So everybody in, do what you can. We only have 5 minutes to do it in.
We can. We've done it before. Everybody on a phone, 1-800-323-9262 and say, Alan, Joe, Vera, Teresa, we're with you. We're going to make this happen. We can do this now. I need to hear from you. 1-800-323-9262. We do need to hear from you.
$12,056.
Wow.
I want to hear from new members.
Yes. Although at this point, I'll take anybody.
1-800-323-9262.
120 people, $12,000. What can you do? 1-800-323-9262.
Five minutes.
5 minutes, $10,000. In a little bit, your pledge is basically doubled because it guarantees the challenge. So
heart
just think of it that way. It's very stressful.
Heart palpitations. Mine heart.
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. We need you desperately, so please do what you can. All right. Let's quickly talk about
international
some other issue. I'm sorry, what?
While you're looking, can I say International Space Station?
Sure.
That the Trump administration wants to defund or no longer support the International Space Station. There's going to be a spacewalk in the next few days. Can you imagine if the U.S. is not part of the International Space Station?
Well, we're becoming more and more anti-science. That's all I have to say.
I just think people call your members of Congress if you are outraged by that. I know there are other things.
There are many
food
things
stamps
we have
and
to
healthcare,
be
but
aware of.
Wow. I couldn't believe when I read that. Okay. Oh, well. You ready, Joe?
1-800-323-9262. How are we doing, Joe? 1-800-323-WAMC. 1-800-323-9262. We're closer, but not close enough. We're $10,756 away. 1-800-323-9262. We have 4 minutes and 45 seconds.
And you know, there is somebody out there with $10,000 who says, no, really, this thing of ours, this WAMC, this round table, where I go every morning is worth $10,000. I can do it. I could do five. I could do one. Whatever you can do, this is the time right now. We're really up against it, and we're asking for your help. If you can do something magnificent, great. Whatever you can do.
Okay, $10,000 is what we need. We need $10,000, 4 minutes to do it in. Everybody, do what you can do. Just what Alan said. 1-800-323-9262. And realize that whatever you do now goes to this $10,000 challenge. So if you're saying, oh, I got $100, well, that really, for us now, is $200 because we have the $10,000 challenge on the table. We don't want to lose any of this. So please do what you can do. It's essential. It's really where it shows how important you are in this equation. There is an equation, and you are such a vital and important part of it, as you have shown year after year. Drive after drive, and we need you this time as well.
That's right, Joe.
1-800-323-9262. What do you think of anybody want to talk about? I thought this was an interesting story because I don't understand it, which is the Justice Department dismissing corruption case against Menendez.
Well, based on the jury, what the jury said in the first failed trial, they knew they weren't going to win.
They weren't going to win.
They knew it was... for want of a better phrase, trumped up. And Menendez, of course, gets to stay. But, of course, he's got to run for office. And this has probably done some damage to
him. Oh, I would think so, yeah.
On the other hand, the Democratic-Republican balance in the United States Senate is so great that if this Justice Department dismissed those charges against Menendez, you better believe that they didn't think they could win.
All right, we're down to about $8,000 right now.
Oh, boy.
So we're whooshing as we speak. We're whooshing upon a star.
Hey, Joe, could we take five more minutes?
I think we can take five more minutes. I think, right? We can buy some time from you, Rob, right? Lunch, like 5-10 minutes would be great. 1-800-323-9262. If either of you have to leave, we can.
No, I want to ask about Steve Wynn, and when are the Republicans going to give the money back that he donated?
I don't have an answer.
Well, okay. That's just these are random thoughts that I'm thinking.
Very random. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. 1-800-323-9262. Yes.
Now remind me, Teresa, exactly what Steve Wynn is accused of having done.
He is accused of a range of indiscretions, sexual indiscretions with staffs and others, of which at least one person was paid out $8 million. Now he says that he didn't commit these offenses, and the RNC says until it's proven, they're not going to give any of the money
back. And that's
back.
Because this was the RNC, he was the RNC finance chair. And as Teresa mentioned the other day, when the Harvey Weinstein story broke, everyone on the Republican side went after Harvey Weinstein as a major donor. And
attacked Secretary Clinton, including the Fox News putting up a clock that said, how long will it take for Secretary Clinton to give back the money that she was given from Harvey Weinstein?
So but now the shoe is on the other foot.
Silence.
Yeah. It's quite 1-800. It's quite amazing, isn't it?
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. We're making any progress, Joe?
Yes, we have. And as soon as here's the problem, it's coming in now so fast that I can't subtract that fast. So here we go. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. We need $5,000. So $5,000. 1-800-323-9262.
Yeah. What a great group of people. Thank you.
Did we talk
all
about Victor Cha, the academic who served with the George Bush administration? This is why people listen to the station, because you learn about Victor Cha.
Let's hear more about it, Teresa.
He was the person who was going to be the U.S. ambassador to South Korea.
Exactly,
we don't have a U.S. ambassador to South Korea, and they've withdrawn his nomination. Because he said no first strike use. This is why people support the station, because we have conversations here about people like Victor Cha with amazing people like.
Yeah, I mean, and he is by no means sort of considered as a liberal. He's a deeply thoughtful academic.
How are we doing, Jim?
He was very critical of what the Trump administration was suggesting could be the kind of first strike that maybe would unite America behind the Trump administration, or this, I don't know exactly what was suggested, but
he opposes
it is
so-called,
frightening.
They have something called the bloody nose strategy. Yeah. He opposes the notion you can have a limited first strike.
Right, yeah. Which raises the question, would Trump, in order to save himself from Mueller and from what's going on,
no, don't even say that.
It's a frightening.
Okay,
I know what you're going to say.
I'm not going to say it because you told me not to. I'm going to say, would Trump ... Now, this is an extremely serious question.
Can't do that. It's too unthinkable.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well,
A first strike.
Okay, I will admit that I'm doing math, so that's why I wasn't really paying attention.
No, but it's an extraordinary story. The question is, would a guy in his righteous anger, because he believes that everything he says is right, say, okay, because I'm the only one, that's right, only one who has his finger able to hit that button, would he do it? Would he order it?
And what did Hillary Clinton say during the debates in the election?
She said he would.
She said you cannot trust a person who can be baited with a tweet with their finger on the button.
$2,900.
$2,900.
1-800-323-9262. We're whooshing away to get this $10,000 challenge.
And Joe, you could go to WAMC.org. It's just as good. It'll all count. Everything on the table will count. 1-800-323-9262. Go, Joe.
1-800-323-9262 is the number. 9262, by the way, if you spell it out on you have an old fashioned keypad or even on your telephone, it's WAMC.
Yeah.
1-800-323-9262 or WAMC.org, as Alan so rightly mentioned. You can do it on the website as well.
But those letters are so tiny.
They're small.
So tiny on the keypad that you're better off thinking 9262. Don't you think?
I always think when you're singing with the banjo, that's how I keep it in my mind. You know,
yeah. I have the banjo. hung up in
I
my...
I can't get it out of my mind either.
In my I have it hung up in my office. I went to give a speech at Southern Vermont College years ago.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And
$1,900. Go ahead.
And the entire group that was standing there had prepped, and they got up to sing the song, the 1-800 song. That was really quite something.
That's funny.
1-800-323-9262, $1,900, right? 1-800-323-1911 to be exact. If you can do the 11, great. If you can do the 900, great. If you can do 19
Wouldn't
and 11,
great.
Great
if some nice person gave the 11?
Well, yes.
Yeah. So talk about the nuclear button. I'm really worried about that. I'm desperately hoping that the military structure provides some kind of ability to maintain our own security. Because
like what?
I'm hoping they will disobey an order if it's a crazy order.
Well, that's on General Kelly, but...
Well, I saw Kelly yesterday. I was not happy. He really has, he's now gotten down into the trenches, you know.
Well, I think he's so with him on this immigration issue, and that's, you know, I don't know how you get a budget deal without an immigration deal. Yeah. They haven't gotten an immigration deal for 20 years, but they brought themselves down this path of they're trapped now on this whole immigration thing.
Uh-huh.
And you've got him and Stephen Miller running the, and what did Senator Graham say?
Well,
he said if Stephen Miller and General Kelly are running an immigration policy, we won't get a deal because that's not where the American people are on this issue.
Well, see, now it's interesting because basically the pundits all said, well, you know, Schumer and the rest of the guys blinked the last time out. Yep. Will they have the, what's the right word, marbles to...
Spine.
Yeah, spine, that's the one.
Yeah.
Will they have the spine to go again? On this.
Yeah, I don't think they blink. I think they laid out they created a path. You know, it's, you know this, Alan.
Yeah,
it's,
there was a sort of an understanding.
It's chess, you know, policy making.
It's actually three-dimensional.
Three-dimensional chess. It's not checkers. It's chess, policy making. But the other thing is, again, you have this. We talked about Russia. We talked about North Korea. But what about Afghanistan? Afghanistan, we have 15,000 troops now in Afghanistan.
15,000 troops, but $1,500 is what we need
Are
to
you
make
kidding
our goal.
Me? Only 1,500?
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Everybody, come on, let's go. 1-800-323-9262.
And then we'll be really in great shape. Joe is now making frantic gestures to Rob on the board about how he has to clear a couple of extra minutes for us.
Yep. And I've talked about Afghanistan. You're absolutely right. We have a country coming apart at the seams again. There are constant explosions. Their Taliban is back.
U.S. troops cannot drive through the streets. They have to be transported by helicopter because it's not safe for U.S. troops to drive through the streets.
So what do you do about that? So, Teresa, what's your
I don't know what to do, but it's just, it's
$1,100.
$1,100. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. Come on, folks. We can do this. Let's go. 11 people at 100. One person at 1,100. Whatever you can do.
Wasn't the Trump administration talking about increasing funding for the military? I think what's in our future is a full return to Afghanistan. That's what I see this administration do.
Well, it certainly seems to be what has happened in the past. If
but
you
to
take
do
a look
what?
At our
what are they going to do?
If you take a look at our history,
another
and
surge,
and Vietnam, and Nixon and Kennedy. You know, you can see what's coming.
Yep. Hurry, everybody, hurry! 1-800-323-9262. Rob, to hit. Congressional Corner, what time do I have to be out by?
An hour ago.
1-800-323... what time? Okay, thank you. 1-800-323-9262.
1-800-323-WAMC.
1-800-323-WAMC. If I could have to 45, that would be great. If you can figure that out, that would be awesome.
45?
1-800-323-9262.
Look, folks, we really only have seconds now in order to do this. And if you can do something, you know, to save this station and SOS, we've said it so many years ago, and SOS for save this program. You know, if it means something to you, please, let's let the word out that it's important and that we did it, and it will be a magnificent achievement if we've done that this morning.
1-800-323-9262. Whatever you can do is essential at this point. We're at the last gasp. We're counting. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-W. AMC. The other thing, let me just bring up one more story before we will go here in just about 5 minutes or so. This is a story I had on yesterday's list that we didn't get to, but I find it really interesting, and I'm interested in Teresa's thought because of her interest in healthcare. But three corporate behemoths, Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and J.P. Morgan Chase, announced on Tuesday that they would form an independent healthcare company for their employees in the United States. The alliance was a sign of just how frustrated American businesses are with the state of the nation's healthcare system and the rapidly spiraling cost of medical treatment.
Right. This is interesting because they haven't said how they're going to do it. It did seem to the markets. It seemed to rattle the markets on Monday. So I'm not sure what the new structure would be. I know that other big corporations have tried to pool together and see if they can, by pooling together, can they contain costs and such. And these folks want to focus on technology. But it raises all sorts of interesting privacy questions because, you know, Amazon, they are collecting data all the time about what people eat and about where they buy their pharmaceuticals and stuff. And what happens if all of this data is combined into one and tied into your health benefits and your access to health care? So they want to create kind of a superstructure, which they say, if you have a bigger pool, essentially what Medicare should be doing, if you have a bigger pool of people, you can help drive down costs. I don't know how they actually do it, but I do know that it's going to raise some serious privacy questions.
Well, and
1-800-323-9262. Help. I'm still figuring that out, but about $1,000, I'd say.
Okay. So the other question is, if they do it for their companies, the three of them, what happens to everybody else?
Right,
887.
Right. And you're pooling people. I mean, this is like years ago, the company, the factory had its provided health care for its people, but they control their lives. So, I don't understand how it's going to work.
Hurry.
I don't understand how it's going to distort the markets, and it raises all sorts of privacy issues.
1-800-323-9262. Hey, we're within $800 now. Let's get this done.
I was thinking, Teresa, they only have about 1 million employees, so they can't even have that much of an impact.
Right.
If they build a bigger pool, correct.
Right.
But right now they have 1 million employees. They can't even have that big of an impact. The major health insurance kind of conglomerates really control a lot of what's going on, and we'll see what they suggest.
But if you step back and think about the bigger picture here, what signal is, it means that they don't think that the Trump administration is going in a good direction on health care. It's a denigration of the Trump approach on dismantling healthcare.
I want to get to that point, but I also want to get to the point, which is to your privacy issues.
Terrible privacy concerns.
I understand, but we have those same concerns with our current system. I
mean,
as these companies grow and with CVS becoming
issue. CVS.
So you see this already. So I'm not saying that it's good. I'm just saying that horse has sort of already left the barn.
And
right?
By the way, Joe, the CVS stock fell yesterday
going
into the medical
and all sorts of other health. But I think this raises some of the Internet of Things, and people are way wonky in the weeds, but people really need to be talking more about the privacy and ethical issues around the Internet of Things. Think about if they can track, so you say, oh, it's great. I can have a refrigerator that checks and sees what's missing and then automatically tells the grocery store to send me my milk because the refrigerator tells them I'm out of milk. Isn't that convenient?
$296. Go ahead.
Oh,
and
but there's a price to that. Privacy price to that.
It isn't $296, but go ahead.
But Joe's point is extremely well taken. You go into any doctor's office right now.
Right.
And they say, well, what were your last blood tests if you went to another doctor? And they say, wait a second, I can get it. They sit down, they go, but can get it, everybody can get it.
But what if you're right? And that's but Amazon, they're selling food and they're going to sell medicine and they're going to. Somebody needs to figure out the privacy issues. Well, look at this Fitbit issue.
Oh, yeah.
Which I've been screaming about Fitbits for years. Military, these military people using Fitbit and these tracker devices. And Fitbit said, we're never going to give out your information. Well, they didn't give out individual information, but collectively they said, we're going to map the world where people are using Fitbit. And they disclosed where all of
these military bases
were. Well, the bases aren't hard to disclose because everybody knows where they are. What they did disclose is what was unknown was the routines,
right,
the military has,
and pathways.
Patrolling paths, but routines. So that is what was dangerous.
But when you
about
sign
that
up for these
issue.
Health trackers, you are signing away that they're allowed to use and sell your information. That's what they want. They want to sell your data. People aren't thinking about all the data that's being collected about them and sold.
By the way, last call. We are going to, we have to leave, and we're going to go over to Congressional Corner in just a moment. We have exactly 3 minutes. Please keep calling. We need you desperately. 1-800-323-9262. My thanks to Vera and Teresa for hanging on.
Yeah, wonderful.
Of course, to Alan, but we're joined at the hip in this, so he sort of had to stay. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. So where do you think we go on this? Does it have any impact, do you think, on our healthcare talks and in the future when you have these companies doing this? As you say, it shows the dissatisfaction with the Trump administration's
approach
to healthcare. So does it change the conversation?
I think it just forces a conversation about what really will work. The problem is the way that conversation should be led is by an administration and a Congress. It's having hearings and leadership to tie it all together, and we don't have that. So just like the climate talks, absent leadership from the White House, you have people like Michael Bloomberg and others coming in and dealing with climate issue. So absent real leadership from the White House on health care, you have all these private groups coming in and trying to figure out a better way. Who knows where it's going to lead? But what happens if you have a pre-existing condition? What happens to privacy issues, your work, your... Mm. Anyway, it's very complex.
And do we also say that that we rely the good and the bad of relying on business and relying on business and industry to
right because just like pensions right just like a pension, you know, mm-hmm. there was a cycle in which the pensions were from the businesses just and you know and now they're not and they're in trouble. There's a cycle where healthcare was from businesses, but now they're walking away from it because the load became too big for them to bear, so they stepped away from it, right? And what we really need is to knit together a Medicaid and Medicare system that moves us incrementally to a single payer system.
That's now, if the Democrats take the Congress, the House of Representatives, that's going to offer some real interesting changes in the way in which we look at all of this stuff.
Well, you still, you know, even though Trump says that there's no affordable health care in the Obamacare, in fact, it's in place for at least another year until 2019. Mm-hmm. And you saw the public response. People signed up in record numbers, even though they cut the funding for it, because the citizens came together in the states and provided information. And what is it, the state that... two Republican states have recently expanded Medicaid coverage.
Sure.
And even though the president is saying no good, no good.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there because we do now have to go. We made our goal.
Good.
Thank
Yay.
You very much. Thanks to everybody.
One-handed clap with my bad.
Real quick, just so you know, in the lockbox right now, 1,451,821.
So that means we need to have 49,000, right?
If you add the $10,000 that we made with the challenge, it means to make our lockbox goal $38,000.
$1,284. Wow, that's great.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll be right back.